4, starting in verse 12. Colossians 4:12. While you are turning there, I have a couple of comments to make prior to diving in here. Really grateful and appreciative of the support of the congregation, being able to take the kids to Montana Youth Camp. It was a great week of camp. A lot of positive things were accomplished for the spiritual revolution. I would encourage you to ask Jeremiah about it, to ask Casey about it. I'd be happy to talk to you about it, ask Joe about it. Really good, positive week at camp where kids were brought together and the name of Jesus was given glory. I'd encourage anybody to think about as their kids get to that age, sending them out to the Montana youth camp. So appreciative of the support of the congregation, being able to take the Lima bean, as we so affectionately call it, the church van here from Lima, out to camp, and it was great, and I didn't even tear off the Ohio State sticker for whoever put it on. Though a Michigan sticker is coming, just so you know. hey, one deserves the other, right? Really grateful and appreciative of that. Super great week of camp. It's good to be home. Good to be with the saints here in Lima. It's good to be home together with all of us here, and I'm happy to be back. Want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. Really grateful and appreciative of all the fathers and the good work that's being done, and the heads of the households here, and appreciative. Certainly want to recognize the dads today. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Colossians 4:12, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. I think I'm going to be sitting here one more week after today. I have something I want to emphasize today, and then we'll be here probably one more week, but we're going to read the whole section here. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also in Nympha and the church that is in her house. And when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. So, a couple of things here that I'm going to bring out. Epaphras. One of their number. Epaphras is obviously fundamental part of the congregation there in Colossae. If you look at the first chapter, we'll kind of hearken back to something we talked about before. Chapter 1 and verse 4 and then also verse 7. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints... let's go ahead and read 5 and 6 as well. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. So Epaphras is helping teach, train, and develop the people there in Colossae. He's a preacher and a faithful minister. One of the themes that we've been talking about over the past few Sundays that I've had the opportunity to preach is that what kind of a legacy are you leaving? Are you leaving a legacy of faith? Are you going for glory, honor, and immortality in the kingdom of God? Or are we spending our time, energy, money, organizational skills of in the things of the world? See, it's not bad to go for glory, honor, and immortality. It's what are we going for glory and honor and immortality in? The things of the kingdom? the things that are eternal, the things that are everlasting, or the things that are temporary, the things that leave us simply wanting more. Epaphras is one of these guys who is a faithful minister. We talked about the books, and the books being opened, and how God has not quit recording history. And so here, we don't know all that much about Epaphras. Scripture calls him faithful. What else would you rather be called? We're waiting to the day of judgment where we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." One of the things, Acts chapter 13, it talks about David. One of the things that it says is that David fulfilled his purpose and his generation. Loose quote there. It's 13, about 36 or so, maybe 29. Okay, David having fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. What do you want written about you? Epaphras, a faithful minister. And here in verse 12 in particular, it says, he's a bondslave of Jesus Christ. He sends his greetings. He's there with Paul in prison, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. What do you want to be known for? Epaphras is known for his prayers. He's diligently and earnestly laboring in his prayers for you. Known for his prayers. That's what the scripture tells us about him, that he is laboring earnestly. A lot of times, one of the things that we bring out is that Jesus in the garden, he's sweating drops like blood because of his earnest prayers, right? Well, Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes notice of Epaphras' laboring in prayer. Well, that's an example for us, isn't it? You're not known for, there's guys that are known for their great public speaking, right? There's guys that are known for their charisma. There are guys that are known for all sorts of different things. But Epaphras, even though he's a faithful minister, he's known for his prayers. He's laboring earnestly in his prayers. It's real work. He was in prison with Paul himself. If you go to Philemon, we looked at Philemon a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but I want to make reference just real quick. Philemon 1, verse 23. I'm going to read 24, too, because it's going to be relevant here in a second. Philemon, verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. I want you to notice that, my fellow workers. Epaphras is a faithful minister. He is a fellow worker, and he's his fellow prisoner. A lot of times sports teams, when they win the championship, they'll be invited to the White House. I don't know how that's going to work with the Toronto Raptors. I don't think the Canadians will get invited to the White House, but I guess we'll see. But a lot of times, a team wins a championship of some sort, they get invited to the White House. And they are prominently honored by somebody in a high position, usually the president. I think that when we had a government shutdown, President Trump got them all McDonald's or something, this happened recently. So there's this honoring that happens as you go into one of the most revered, courts, the White House, the courts of men, right? it's get to go to the White House. What an honor. And some people make statements, political statements, both left and right, when Obama was in the White House and when Trump's in the White House. Oh, we're not going for this or that reason. The reason why that's such a big deal is because it's a sign of honor to be invited. I get to go to the White House, get to meet the president. It's interesting to me that the way that Epaphras is getting the opportunity to spend time, thanks, Amber, is getting opportunity to spend time with somebody like the Apostle Paul as he gets to go to the revered place known as prison. You know, it's invitation to be in jail. All right. Right? But what value system are we using? Would you rather be in jail with Paul doing the work of the Lord? Or would you rather be in the place of prominence with the world spinning your wheels doing nothing? What do you really want? How do we really value things? I want to be a guy like Epaphras. I want to be a guy that makes a difference eternally. See, we're going to talk, you know, a lot of sermons are going to be preached, you know, throughout the United States and all sorts of religious organizations today about dads and the importance of dads and the societal impact of dads and how we need strong dads to have strong families. Guys, we need strong dads to have spiritual revolutionaries. That's what we need strong dads for, to be able to train their kids to be spiritual revolutionaries. To be able to teach the kids that we would much rather be in prison with Paul than to be dining with kings for no reason. That's what, as fathers, it is our responsibility to teach them that the guys that we look up to are Epaphras. Those are the guys really make a difference. Fellow ministers. Guys that have the type of character where they labor earnestly in their prayers for the saints with Paul. So it's interesting that Epaphras, we know he's a faithful minister. He's teaching. Looks like a lot of the result of the church in Colossae, the church in Colossae is a result of Epaphras. So we see that he's preacher, and he's known for his prayer. Well, that's really the theme of the entire book of Acts. And Acts is the beginning history of the church, and we talked about how the history of the church is still being written, and we're living out the history of the church today. So if the church needed preaching and praying in the first century, what do you think the church today needs? Preaching and praying. See, a lot of people say, well, the book of Acts is a history of the early church. Totally true. But really, the theme of the book of Acts is preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. And the theme of the Lord's church today needs to be preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. See, Epaphras is the type of guy who's laboring earnestly in his prayers and in his preaching. And his evangelism, and his working for the gospel. You notice there in Colossians chapter 1, okay, it says, just as is in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit. Epaphras was the kind of guy who was interested in bearing fruit. If you look at John chapter 15, John 15 and verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Epaphras was interested in being a disciple of Jesus Christ and bringing in many more disciples. He was interested in being a spiritual father. Those are the things that he emphasized, and that's why he is successfully recorded in the New Testament, in the records of the New Testament, because his focus was not shifted from preaching and praying. Are we going to allow our focus to be shifted from preaching and praying? See, we want to be great fathers. We want to be great fathers to our kids, emphasize to them the spiritual revolution, and we want to be great spiritual fathers to those who are interested in being disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, 1 John chapter 2 talks about, it gives instructions to fathers, and it gives instructions to young men, and it gives instructions to children. You know, and one of the things that's emphasized there is the fathers, because they know him who was from the beginning. See, there's some things there that spiritual fathers can do to help spiritual children take the next step spiritually, to help develop and to grow them. Because the traps of Satan, they're wily. He's been doing this whole temptation and setting traps thing for a really long time, and he's pretty good at it. And you know, he can kind of perfect it because all of the old tricks still work. What he basically gets Adam and Eve with is what he gets people with today. And so our focus needs to be intensely on the preaching and the praying to be able for us to bear much fruit. To be great spiritual fathers. To be like guys like Epaphras. Faithful ministers laboring in the word. What kind of encouragement do you think that this brought to the church at Colossae, that one of their number who had labored among them was to continuing to labor in prayer for them? See, even though geographically he was far away, he was laboring in prayer for them. Do we do that sort of thing for our brethren throughout the country and throughout the world? One of the things is really clearly and it was a lot of fun to see demonstrated at camp is there were people from all the way from the state of Washington, as far east as the state of Pennsylvania. A couple thrown in from places like North Dakota and places like West Virginia and all over. And are we praying for those other congregations? We praying for the work that's getting done. Are we praying for the people that are doing work in Ghana? Are we praying for the people that are doing work in New Zealand? Are we praying for the people that are doing work in the Philippines? Are we praying for Jeremiah and Brittany as they're headed to France? Are we praying for the people throughout the world that are getting the gospel out there? Because the gospel is powered by preaching and praying. Making fruit is powered by preaching and praying. Now, preaching isn't just the public proclamation. I think everybody here understands what I'm saying. That has to do with individual, one-on-one development and evangelism that's done there. But over and over, preaching and praying. He was involved in seeking and saving the lost, and he was interested in the preservation of that which has been saved. He was laboring in prayer. When was the last time you labored in prayer? It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge. I haven't sweat drops like blood myself. Are we laboring in prayer? Or are we making that a priority? Or is it just kind of put off to the side? See, the gospel spread to the whole world. If you read that Colossians 1 passage really carefully, this is about AD 62, AD 63. They said that the gospel, the word of truth, had spread to the whole world. People heard about the word. And that was powered by what? Preaching and praying. Is the Holy Spirit any less powerful today? Well, how's it going to be powered? Preaching and praying. Need to encourage our kids, to challenge ourselves, to be laborers like Epaphras. You know, real love is loving somebody's eternity. And so, you know, I'm really looking for the spiritual revolutionaries that are going to push this thing forward through the means of preaching and praying. Go back to Colossians chapter 4. He's praying specifically that they would stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Stand perfect and fully assured. He's encouraging them, people who are already Christians, to stand perfect and fully assured. Now, we talked a couple months ago on Wednesday nights, we talked about the three different biblical kinds of perfection. The perfection of conscience, the perfection of character, and then ultimately the perfection of body. One of the things that's emphasized within the scripture is that at our immersions, we're given a perfect conscience. our responsibility is simply to hold on to that perfect conscience. But perfect character is something that has grown and that has developed as we look at the image of Jesus Christ in glory. That perfect character is developed. Now, there are no sins held against us. We are clean, but that character has to be developed into the very character of Jesus Christ. And then ultimately, what we're looking towards is the perfection of body, that is our resurrection body that we're going to see, or that we're going to receive, because when we see Jesus, we will be just like him, because we will see him just as he is, according to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And so, he's praying that they would stand perfect and fully assured. So there's a couple of things that's being communicated here. That they continue to move forward from a character perspective, and that they keep their eye on the prize. So there's two types of character there, two types of perfection, the perfection of character and perfection of body is what these guys are going to have to keep going for, that they may stand perfect and fully assured in the Word of God. See, it's to him who overcomes. If we go to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2. See, he's not praying this. Epaphras isn't laboring for no reason. It's because prayer makes a difference. And he wants those people that he has personally invested in to make it. See, the more we invest, the greater that we care. The more you invest, the more you care. And so, if you don't invest very much, you don't care very much. The more you invest, the more you care. Epaphras had invested in the salvation of their souls. And so he was intensely interested in his investment being able to go through all the way to the end. He didn't want to lose on his investment. See, it's the owner. It's the owner who's more invested in the business than the employee, isn't it? Why do you think that God has made us, and why do you think God has put us in such a position as he has to be a co-laborer with him? He wants us to be invested. This is something that he has made us to be a part of, that we get to be a part of with him, to be invested. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To him who overcomes. See, Epaphras has invested in these guys. He's gotten them to the point of immersion into Jesus Christ, but he wants them to eat of the tree of life. He wants them to remain faithful unto death. He wants them to be the type of people who bear fruit. There's a preacher that once said, you haven't really made a disciple until your disciple has made it a disciple. That's kind of an interesting statement. Because God wants us to be fruitful. That's what God's looking for from us. We want to be useful. We want to be fruitful. So Epaphras is praying that they stand perfect and fully assured. That they know exactly where they're headed and that they are faithfully working through the trials of life. We're all going to have those trials, but the question is, what are we going to do with them? What are we going to accomplish for the kingdom? I'm going to take preaching and praying. Stand fully assured. This is what Epaphras was concerned about in his prayers. That's where he was spending his mental energy. He wasn't spending his mental energy on, you know, stocks and bonds, and, you know, he had to live, right? But what he was spending his mental energy on is praying that the people that he had invested in, that those people stood perfect and fully assured. I want to make a quick contrast here, because it's easy to talk about this, talk about the importance, really hit that home. But I think that one of the ways for us to see how important that is to make a little bit of a contrast. If you look in Colossians 4 and verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. In Philemon 1 and verse 23, it talked about how Demas was one of the guys that was working together with Philemon and Luke and Epaphras. And Demas was working together. He was a fellow worker. Aristarchus is mentioned as well, and Mark is a fellow worker. And so we see that Demas has started out well. But Demas, his story doesn't end the way that... His story doesn't end with him overcoming. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Timothy 4, 9. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Demas, having loved this present world. We said before that Satan uses a lot of the same tricks today as he used back in the Garden of Eden. Demas loved this present world. Demas was a guy that was in. He was a fellow worker. Cared about the gospel. Cared about the apostle Paul. And you know what? The things of this world, they got him. Having loved this present world, he was distracted. He is, let's go follow the glitz, the glamour of the world. I mean, there's, the world has stuff to offer, doesn't it? The fruit looked good. And Demas, he forgot. Guys, when we're not preaching and praying, it's easy to forget. When it's not in the front of our mind all of the time what we're here to do, it's easy to forget. The fruit looks good. The present world looks good. It's not always bad stuff. I mean, I hear fruit's good for you. I don't know. It's distraction. It's distraction. What are we investing in? See, one of the things we'll talk a little bit more about next week is that people, they haven't changed that much. People that are recorded in the scriptures, people like Demas, they're real people. We've known people that have fallen away. We know people that were in, and now the things of this world have their affections. People aren't any different now than they were in the first century. And you and I, we're the only ones who can decide if we're Epaphras or if we're Demas. I can want you to be Epaphras with all my might. And I can preach, and I can pray. And as an evangelist, I have additional responsibility of training and developing. But only you can decide if you're Epaphras, if you're Demas. Is it the things of this world that's attractive? Or is it the glory, honor, and immortality of the kingdom that's attractive to you? If it's the glory and honor and immortality of the kingdom that is attractive to you, let's get to preaching and let's get to praying. And the more we grow in preaching and the more we grow in praying and the greater investment that we have in the saints, the more we have to lose. And it gets you further and further and further in. And it's natural because it's more and it's more and it's more for the kingdom of God. Because not because you're trying to earn your way into heaven, but rather because there's nothing else that you would rather do by faith. What else is worth investing in? I want to get further in. I want to be more invested. I want to have more to lose in the kingdom. Because I know that the more that I have to lose from a spiritual perspective, I'm storing up those treasures. Those investments are sure. People are interested in a sure investment. And in this world, it doesn't really exist. Kind of interesting, the weather we've been having recently. Isn't it funny how quickly things can change? Do we really know the effects that, because this rain isn't just localized, right? Things change really quickly, don't they? Let's live with no regrets. People use that statement to excuse a lot of things. Let's use that statement to get more invested in the kingdom of God. Let's invest more. Let's not be distracted by the things of the world. Let's invest our personal energy in preaching and in praying so that we can stand perfect and fully assured.